Most of you that read the Weekend Vision, or generally our content here at the New Vision headquarters and across the country, you probably know for a fact that we did carry a story where we said a transformer oil found in Kampala food. Now, it might not just be in Kampala. It could be a general problem across the country. Just maybe, no one is paying that much attention to what goes in our stomachs. Yeah. My name is Simon Okitela. This is Business in 15, our weekly podcast here at the New Vision, where we do speak to different experts about issues that are affecting us in society. And we try to weigh in on some of the things that we think must be done to safeguard our health and generally our country. This week, we want to speak to Council David Kabanda, who is the Executive Director of Safefront. Let me just ask David to introduce himself to our listeners. David, welcome to Business in 15 this week.
Thank you so much, Simon. My name is David Kabanda, and I'm the Executive Director of the Center for Food and Adequate Living Rights, Safefront. I'm an expert in food law. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. Thank you so much indeed for speaking to us. Let's start from there, where you say you are a food expert or an expert in food law. Let's just start from there. Just how serious is it when we say food is not safe for Ugandans?
We have a very catastrophic food environment. We find ourselves in a space that is in transition from the indigenous nutritional diet,
yes,
into now like a modern, what we call modern, because in Uganda what is understood as modern is actually junk. In other countries where you find junk is cheap, in Uganda you find junk is actually expensive, and people take it to be a trend, a lifestyle. It is like you are now graduating from poverty to a lifestyle that show off as you are rich. So that space is exposing many people to unhealthy diets, to unhealthy food, including street food, which is barely not regulated.
So when you woke up one morning and hit the streets over the weekend and saw a front page of the Vision Group, I mean from Weekend Vision, saying transformer oil food found in Kampala food, as a man that really thinks about safety of people when it comes to food, what hit your mind?
Well, this is not new to us who have been in the space talking about these issues. And I should tell you, Simon, beyond just the transformer oil that the papers are now bringing to our light, We have other underlying issues that need to immediately be regulated or resolved. One, do we have food grade apparatus that these food vendors are using? Take an example of a frying pan. People just go to hardwares and pick building materials, then work around them to give you what they call a frying pan, give you what they call a saucepan. But in fact, you are eating cancer, because the level of heating, and you also know that the many steel mills we have in Uganda are recycling this metal, and then before you know it is what is put on the market. Then secondly are the practices of spices. People are using all sorts of synthetics. The synthetics are coming into Uganda in the form of food colors, food aromas, food everything. And also the practice in the farm, where people do a lot of antibiotics in the animals, the eggs we are eating, the chicken, the fish ponds. So beyond that, when I saw the article coming out, I was very happy, because now you realize that there's many people have been calling me, what should we do? Maybe to just now go into who is responsible, by the way. Maybe I should start.
Yeah, actually, I was about to ask you that.
Yes, who is responsible? I sympathize with an ordinary Ugandan, because the hassle people go through is too hard to make ends meet. People have families, the economy is not very good. So people wake up, come, especially those who find themselves in the Kampala metropolitan,
yes,
Mukono, Wakiso, and then Kampala itself. Many people do not have gardens, and even those who have backyard gardens, they can't have everything they need. And sometimes, even if you have your own food in your house, yes, you spend the entire day on the job. So you buy food on the street, and some people also buy as they go back home because you do not have enough time to prepare food.
Yes.
Then what does that mean? It means that that food market must not expose you to cancer-causing, you know, food products.
Yes.
It means that now food is a commercial product that other people are now using it to get money. The moment that happens, it calls for regulation, because where life and profits are in the same line, someone is minding about profit. You understand?
Yes.
This street food vendor is not interested in your health. In fact, they don't even know you. They are interested in the money that you'll pay. They are interested in selling more. They are interested in saving more. So that calls in a public health law regulation.
Yes.
The local governments must now swing in to make sure that whatever is presented to the people is safe for human consumption, is safe, and it is not taking our people's lives. Beyond the local government, we have the central government, because we have Ministry of Health. We have a full department on non-communicable diseases. There is a full department on public health. So the minister has powers under the Public Health Act,
yes,
to even issue regulations. You remember during COVID-19 that the minister could issue regulations statutory in nature,
yes,
to guide the country. If you are supposed to keep in your house, this is what you must do.
Mm.
In fact, with some criminal, you know, sanctions.
Yes.
We have the Food and Drugs Act. It creates legal obligations on the food vendor. It creates legal obligations on local governments. But we also have the penal code, which we can use. I don't want to take you so much into the constitution and human rights.
Yes.
Let me stop at those.
Okay.
So the local government is particularly responsible to make sure that this individual, ordinary Ugandan Kavanda, who wants to eat fish, if it is fried, it is okay, but it must be fried in a saucepan or a frying pan that is food grade. It must be fried with the cooking oil that is, you know, is healthy, but not reuse the oil. But it's not oil that is laced with, you know, transformer oil. All these people must be arrested now.
Yes. You know, I like the fact that you say reused oil, because in this article, one of the things that the people that were interviewed, you know, did say was, we use oil that bigger hotels have used once to make their chips and chicken, and then they sell it to us. You get?
Yes.
So, during your intro, you did mention something about what people deem as new lifestyle, where if you can afford chips and chicken, then you're in the in thing. You're basically in the thing. You're you know, progressing economically somehow. You're making money. Are the young people shooting themselves? Are they eating cancer? Or are Ugandans eating cancer? I should be asking.
I'm telling you, for you to be able to relate with this fact, you go to the Cancer Institute in Mulago and you see how many people are now getting cancer. In fact, we have a new record that young people are getting cancer at the rate of 10% more than old people. Why? Because the young people are now being exposed to what they call fast foods. But the biggest question people must ask themselves, fast going where? The moment someone tells you fast, yes, it is fast going where? Taking you to your grave. And why should it be fast in the first place?
I understand.
If they call it fast, then you need to put some questions around.
Like, so no, it's fast.
Fast going where? And why should it be fast? Why is it fast? Of course, we understand that that concept comes from the private sector,
yes,
from capitalists, and they're like, do it quick, fix it quick. But yeah, the more you fix it quick, it fixes your life too. People must understand that our life cycle was not meant to be in a supersonic speed. The moment someone conceives, it takes 9 months for a... Can you imagine? Nine months for that person to be... To come out. And even when that person comes out, they don't walk in a day. Now, why do you associate with fast foods? You are putting substances into your blood system, into your body system, and they are dealing with the mutations. You see, the biggest challenge with food and young people or the youth, you are still at a time where your body tissues are mutating. So whatever you are putting into your body, it can easily deal with your body system through the mutation system, because you are growing. Even if we do not interrogate deeper science, everyone can understand this. You are growing, your bones, your muscle, your everything is growing, but you are now infusing it with substances, because if it is not safe, it is not food.
That's right.
What many Ugandans are eating is not food. They are eating chemical compounds that are going to be dealing with their bodies. And this is where we emphasize and insist that government must not look on. Government has allowed Ugandans to die. Government is sleeping on the job. Both central government and local governments, they must now come in and help people. Of course, we are not saying that the street food business is a bad business. It's not. It only lacks regulation. We don't want them to be phased out. That is not what we are saying. What we are calling upon government to do is, okay, let them have their businesses, but regulate them. I have been reading the Kampala Capital City Authority Law, or call it the Act. It has all the wonderful provisions in managing what happens on the street. But they don't care. You wake up, find someone roasting maize, you know.
Yes.
Do they even know how to roast maize? Because roasting maize is a science. Nobody should ever lie to you that anyone can roast maize for you.
It's ready.
You have seen the maize with burnt surface.
Yeah.
That is cancerous. You must not roast maize up to that level. You understand? Others are roasting meat, others are roasting gonja, others are flying, others are cooking on the road. As we are passing with our cars, the fumes are infused into the food. You understand? As we pass, the dust is getting into the food. Who can I task any local government or Kampala Capital City Authority to tell us whether they have ever tested that food? Picking samples from all these roadside, you know, vendors, and say, okay, as Kampala Capital City Authority, by the way, Simon, Kampala's Capital City Authority has a full public health department.
Wow.
A full department. We have what we call the government analytical laboratory. It's there in Wandegeya. Why isn't government investing themselves into finding out what we are eating on the street? It should be their responsibility. And maybe that works as a baseline for them to regulate.
Totally agree. And
it will even help the vendors, because now, if the vendors are running away from the oil because it is expensive, now they can be maybe a price tag and say, okay, for fried fish of 1 kilogram, if you want it safe and clean, this is the amount of money, such that the vendor also has, like, for example, a baseline price. It comes from regulation. You cannot leave it to the forces of demand and supply, because the vendor or the entrepreneur is looking at maximizing profit.
Profits over anything else.
Let me quickly talk about the issue of reused oil.
Yes.
We have a law called the Hotel and Tourism Act. it forbids them from doing so. But can the regulators, including, for example, Kampala Capital City Authority, tell us how many times have they supervised destruction of used oil?
Yes.
Because the law is use it once or twice, don't use it more than two times.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
Can I put them to task to tell us whether they have ever supervised destruction of used oil from those hotels? Because those hotels are dealing with mass feeding. Do they even know how many guests do those hotels feed on a daily basis? Do they even know how many liters of oil do those hotels use on a daily basis, such that they can monitor their destruction? If there is no such a system, if there is no monitoring, it means that the underground business will continue. These people are selling this oil cheaper to the people who are selling on the street. And you know what that means? And of course, it is because of the capitalist world. It is criminalizing poverty. If someone is poor in Uganda, is sentenced to death. If the government does not pick interest in regulating big hotels who are selling reused oil to these people who are preparing food for the poor people, it is an indictment to the poor people.
Okay.
It's as if you have given up on them. It's as if they don't matter at all.
Okay.
Yes, they are not like citizens. You don't care about them.
They can figure out themselves. Whatever.
They can figure out. No, not even figuring out themselves. It is okay for them to die.
Wow.
This is the statement from government.
Okay. Now, I've visited your office once or several times, really, and I've seen, because I know at the end of the day, so the listeners will ask, so when we ask, when you have all these conversations about what we must eat, where then do we start from? I've visited your office, and I know you have small gardens of different, what you call healthy, you know, vegetables that are not sprayed. Maybe real quick, just share with us what people need to do to start eating healthy.
It is a bit difficult in Uganda because many people are practicing unhealthy food environment. But what to quickly tell people, kindly emphasize eating more vegetables, eating more fruits. Yes, we have a problem of spraying that happens in Uganda, but at least it is better that you eat fruits and vegetables. That is number one. Then number two, make sure that if it is possible, do your own meals from home till when we see that the government has picked interest in regulating our food environment, so markets and hotels. Then number four, I call upon government to regulate. I insist that we need regulation of this space. If it is not regulated, people will continue to die. And number six, I think that at individual level, including employers, please pick interest in giving your employees food. In our organization, I should tell you, like you've mentioned, we put up just these small gardens and we pick our vegetables. And by the way, many people do not even believe that you can grow these crops without spraying them. There is a general intentional misdirection of the entire public that you can no longer grow crops in Uganda without spraying them. And we are telling them it is a lie. It is a commercial path. It is because these seed companies and chemical companies want to sell chemicals to you. But we have practiced it here. Yes, I acknowledge sometimes you'll have pests, you'll have diseases, but there is a natural way of dealing with them. With actually, if you feel like, okay, I should do with very minimal chemical synthetic chemicals. But what we have been feeding our environment, feeding our soil, feeding our water streams, feeding ourselves are too many chemicals. And beyond the chemicals, now we are into transformer oil, we are into reused oil, we are into too How will you survive?
I can't tell it from your tone. I can't tell it from your tone. Sometimes I imagine if we could have these conversations, you know, pushed out there to everyone, have the different, you know, regulators, the government.
And I think, I think it should be a daily routine.
Mm.
Because we need now to speak. I think I need now to mobilize the Ugandans. We need to come up, if it is coming on the streets, because yes. Whether you like it or not, you see, Simon,
yes.
The biggest danger we have is the food does not kill you instantly.
Mm.
So it is slow death, and people don't see it. And another very difficult or paradoxical issue is you eat it when it is sweet. So someone does, and you see, food is a social issue. If I want to meet you, if I want to, you know, we go for coffee, we yes. go for food. It is a social issue. Mm. It is delicious. It is unseen, and even the killer substances come off as appealing to the eyes. For example, many people buy the fish from reused oil because it looks brownish.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Because it looks so it is a lethal, poisonous, nice looking, delicious component.
Wow.
So because of all that hidden truth, then there needs to be an upper high authority to come up and say, well, wait a minute, this is dangerous. You understand?
Yes,
as a child, to be looking at maybe a burning candle, you don't know that it will burn them.
Mm.
So it needs to be done. And worst of all, Uganda has refused to regulate the food industry because we claim to be in a rebel economy, mm. which is, you know, which is managed by forces of demand and supply. So and yet the food industry knows this fact. So they will do everything it takes to bring something to appeal to your eyes,
mm.
to appease your eyes, and maybe to even your instincts of, you know, of taste and also smell. The aroma.
Yeah.
You enter a restaurant and the entire aroma takes you up. But in that,
yes.
everything has been engineered in an industry
mm.
specifically to do that to you. To an extent, let me speak to Ugandans, to an extent that many of the food components are now addictive.
Mm.
If you are eating some spices, be careful. Some are addictive. They knock your brain to every time crave for more,
mm-hmm.
leading to obesity, leading to non-communicable diseases. Yes.
Castle, I can't appreciate you much, and I know there's more that we need to say, and I will definitely yeah. organize more podcasts and talk about these issues. Your parting shots?
Thank you so much. So I would want to speak to fellow Ugandans.
Mm.
We are concerned because a lot is hidden and many of you do not know.
Yes.
So when you listen to some of these messages, you also take time to study the trend of how these things are happening.
Yes.
And also listen to your body. Go for a checkup, for example, for diabetes, and see what is happening to your body.
Mm.
Check up for cholesterol levels. Check up for, because what we want to see is a prevention of non-communicable diseases. By the way, remember, from what you're hearing from me,
yes.
many families are poor because of what they've eaten or what they've served to their people because of catastrophic health spending. Every time you fall sick, it is the pharmaceutical guys, either in the US or where, who are getting the money from you. So let us go back and look at what we are eating. Don't eat too much chapati. It's not you. Why are you giving your money to someone in Ukraine or Russia? Wow. You know, if you're supposed to eat, let us eat the native food, because in a chapati you are looking at their carbohydrates.
Mm.
You'll get also carbohydrates in the food here, in the sweet potatoes, in the cassava, in everything that we have. And yes, why are you giving away your money and yet you are buying death to yourself? These food companies, as I conclude, do not have or do not love you. What they love is your money. And before you know it, they keep kicking you like a ball. You go to them in terms of food, you buy it, you eat it, and they kick you to the pharmaceutical. You again buy those medicines and again pay, to the detriment of your family and your health. Many people have told me, are we going to stay here at 120 years? It is okay if you died like 8 or 75. Why are you dying at 45? You are leaving very young families.
Yes.
You know, stop the lousy talk of, am I going to live 150 years? I'm not asking you to live 150 years. You'll, in fact, be a burden to us. But you must live long enough such that we get the full benefit out of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. And I hope the listeners have learned a thing or so from you on this podcast. Once again, thank you so much for making time, Counsel.
You are welcome, Simon.
All right, Counsel David Kalanda there. He is the executive director of Safrot. He did tell you that he speaks, you know, issues low and food, and clearly you can attest from this conversation. That's it for this week on Business in 15, our weekly podcast here at the Vision Group. We hope you have learned that whereas you might prefer to call it the chips that are cheap, the question is just how cheap are your chips? My name is Simon Uptala. Until then.